Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Marty Smith Show. We attempted to broadcast that part four yesterday, last evening, and it was such a headache and trying to get the broadcast to work with all the other portals and all the other input I use. So we got only about a third of what I was trying to get from Dr. Boyce Watkins, which with regard to the overall point of labor, entertainment, Hollywood, and an African-American perspective. But actually, if you extend it, it could be just an American perspective on lower, I don't want to say lower class, but working class people versus the worker class mentality. So while we focus on the African-American side of it, it's important that what the depth of what Dr. Boyce is really saying and doing is that this is like hip hop, okay? We're talking about a mindset that prohibits you from being successful while at the same time you're telling yourself you're trying to be successful, and that's the only way you know how to do it. So as we break these things down, what I mean when I say it's like hip hop, it'll spread like wildfire and we will be co-opted. So while we're addressing African-American issues, this issue can work for Latin American, any American that applies the same mindset, absent of the African-American particular struggles, of course, but the same mindset in terms of how do I get over the hump. So it's important. We left off on talking about the Nicholas Brothers and their dancing ability.
I want you to look up the Nicholas Brothers online. You just out of respect for the ancestors, these guys were phenomenal. No training. I mean, just black excellence. Seriously. I put them on my Instagram. My Instagram is the Real Boyce Watkins if you want to follow. I put them on my Instagram because these guys literally had no formal training and could do dance moves that nobody could do. They danced with with the best white dancers in the world, Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly and all that, because they all heard about how amazing these Nicholas Brothers were. No formal training, but could do dance moves that people still, to this day, people can't do what the Nicholas Brothers did. They were that amazing. Well, one of the Nicholas Brothers was talking in his documentary. It's a great documentary on Netflix. You look up Nicholas Brothers, you'll find it. And there's a point where he says, I thought that, he did a movie role. You know, after you get older, maybe your brain kind of sinks and you don't get as many opportunities. So he did a movie role, and he said that he thought that because he did a good job, more phone calls would come. He would get more opportunities. And he said, I don't know why. He said, to this day, I don't know why nobody called. He said, I still don't know why nobody called. Right. And I was sitting there with my family and I said, I don't think a black man will ever be happy if he's waiting for a phone call from a white man. I don't think a black man is ever going to be happy if he's waiting for the white man to call him up and give him back his dignity. I don't think a black man can ever be happy if you got to sit at home and wait for white people to give you your opportunity. This is not anti-white. This is pro you. This is me saying that I believe in you. This is about you. This ain't about being anti nobody. But I don't think a black man or a black woman can ever feel good about themselves or about their lives or feel secure if they believe that the only opportunity they have to be successful is if white people give them their good nigga sticker or their seal of approval. You know, that's white supremacy 101. When you believe that the only way you can be successful is if those people, other people like you, enough to give you an opportunity That's why you are a white supremacist. You need to go ahead and turn in whatever clothes you got on, go get you a Klansman robe, and just say, I want to sign up for the KKK. I'm going to be a black Klansman. Because if you believe that you need them in order to find the best of you, in order for the world to see the best of you, then you're a white supremacist. You know, it's just like people that worship Jesus. You know, people that worship Jesus, no disrespect. I'm not, this ain't no anti-church at all. But think about that. What do they tell you? They tell you to get to God, you got to go through Jesus, right? If you don't go through Jesus, you can't get to God, right? That's what, that's kind of the Christian teaching, right? So the white man becomes your Jesus. Like, success is here, and he's here, and you're here, and you got to go through him so he can elevate you to get there. So he becomes your Jesus. You're worshiping him because you believe you need him in order to feel good about yourself. Well, I reject that. I say you learn how to cut out the middleman. I say you learn how to go right to the source. I say that ain't no man on this earth, dead or alive, anywhere, that has the right or the ability to decide if you are ever going to get a chance to show the greatness that God put inside of you. That's what I believe. I believe that nobody has the right to be the gatekeeper for your black excellence. Nobody else has the right to block you from showing the greatness that you have. You just got to learn how to cut out the middleman and stop making whiteness this magical thing, right? Like they can magically do things that you can never do. It's about self-esteem. So anyway, let me keep going. Hit the thumbs up button, by the way. Please hit the thumbs up button. You're watching DrBoyceTV.com. This is the home for intelligent black people. I hope you guys will subscribe. If you don't subscribe, then you get the middle finger. I'm playing. I'm joking. But I hope you will subscribe because this is a great channel in the sense that we talk about things that you don't hear in mainstream media, do analyses that you don't get anywhere else. So, and I'm a former college professor. Well, I am a college. I mean, we started the Black Business School, so I love to teach. Now here's what – let me tell you about Tyler Perry a little bit more. I met Tyler one time on the phone. I only talked to him once on the phone, and it was because he called me because he'd seen me on CNN talking about him on CNN. He was very respectful. He's very nice, and he thanked me for giving an objective analysis of him as a filmmaker. I think at that time Spike Lee gave him a hard time, you know, saying that his movies were pretty much buffoonery. And here's the thing, I didn't totally disagree with Spike. You know, I just think that Spike was a little bit too hard on him. I felt like it was more personal, like maybe almost like a jealousy thing. You know, and I feel like there could have been better ways that he could have coordinated with Spike, or Spike could have coordinated with him. Because I feel like Tyler gave me the sense that he's like an open guy. Like he'll work with anybody, and I feel like he was an outsider in filmmaking. I remember one thing he mentioned to me was he said, I never went to film school. I never learned, you know, I never went to Juilliard and all these film, you know, or USC film school and all that. He said, I just taught myself. And I said, that's probably why you're good at what you do, because you knew which rules could be broken, right? If you come from the outside in, sometimes you'll see, like, for example, you'll see where people are spending $1 million making a certain kind of movie, and you'll say, well, wait, I can make that same movie for $100,000. Right? So I think that thinking outside the box sometimes is easier to do when you don't have that formal structured training. And I think the hardest thing for a black man to do is to succeed in a white man's, in a so-called white man's world, thinking like a white man. A black man cannot succeed in a white man's world thinking like a white man because you ain't white. You don't have the same, you know, they have billions, in Hollywood, they got hundreds of billions of dollars to play with. You don't have that in your community, right? So you can't, you're not, as a black man, you can't, your best chance of success is not from you being black thinking like a white man. Your best chance of success is for you, is for you when you're thinking like a black man, you know, or thinking like a black woman. You know, black people have a special talent. We know how to make a dollar out of 15 cents. We know how to feed four kids with you know, $45 a week. Like, we know how to figure it out, right? Because we know how to cut corners. That's what makes us great. That's what gives us our genius. That's how we created and invented hip-hop and musical art forms that have influenced the world, because we knew which rules can be broken. That's why Prince was, you know, so amazing on the guitar and all the instruments, because he would break musical rules to create the right sound. He cut out the middleman and didn't follow a structured process. He did what was necessary to connect to the listener, right? And that's what made him a genius, right? So a lot of times when you disconnect from your your soul, your spirituality as a black person, what makes you great, you end up, hamstringing yourself. Like, there's nothing more ridiculous. Have you seen anything, like, more ridiculous than, like, a black person who acts just like white people and does exactly what white people train them to do? And it's like they're running away from their blackness, and in exchange, they don't know that they're running away from their greatness. You know, I used to be like that. You know, I remember I was trained to behave a certain way and to carry myself a certain way in my career, and that professors are supposed to speak a certain way and do things in a certain way. And I found out that, I realized, so wait a minute, I don't think I'll ever be as good at being a white man as white men already are. At best, I'll be a cheap replacement for a white man. I said, maybe instead of trying to be the best white man I could be the best black man I could be, and I could just dig into who I am. But in order to do that, I had to learn to love myself. So that journey of self-love was a critical part of me learning how to build my own. I had to have confidence and believe that whatever I build, no matter how different it is, no matter how unorthodox it is, no matter how strange it is, it's going to be just as good as what somebody else has, right? And a lot of black people don't, I don't think we have that confidence. I think that we're told, even by other black people, that what you're doing is not as nice or not as good because you haven't been co-signed by your savior, and you know what I'm talking about. So with Tyler, in that conversation, I remember I said to him that I felt that him not going to film school is what made him great. And also, I asked him about the magazine cover he'd been on where they said that he was the highest paid person in Hollywood. And I said, how does that feel, man? He said, I hate it. He said, I hate when, he said, nobody wants everybody to know how much money you make. And he said, nobody sees how much money I have to pay in order to make these movies. You know, nobody sees how many millions of dollars I paid to this person, that person, that person. And I was like, yeah, I understand that. Because when you're a business owner, people don't understand. People who only get paychecks and have never run a business don't understand. When you're a business owner, they don't understand how you can make $100,000 in a month and literally still be in debt, because you have, your bills are so high. Like, you're like, $100,000, that's a lot of money. I can do a million things with that. Yeah, well, that's because you don't have that financial responsibility of maintaining the organization that you're in. So Tyler Perry, I think, it sets a good example in terms of laying out, just sort of what Black Hollywood can look like. And so I also liked what he mentioned in his speech about creating jobs for black people. I thought that was great. He talked about how a lot of actors and actresses that are out there, these really talented black people out there weren't getting opportunities. They weren't getting hired by Hollywood. Now, some would say that that's racism and discrimination. Okay, you can call it that. I say it's just economic protectionism. What you don't understand about economics is that people protect their own. People take care of their own. If you have a choice, yes or no, yes or no, if you have a choice between hiring a relative / friend or a stranger, which would you choose? Would you choose a relative or would you choose a stranger? Who would you hire? Yeah, give me an answer. Would you hire a stranger off the street that you
This is the Marty Smith Show.
I mean, their credentials are the same, their qualifications are the same. Who are you going to hire first? Who are you going to hire first?
I'll wait.
You're going to hire a relative first. You're going to hire people who look like you, people who you have something in common with.
So I'll wait for you.
Oh, who are you having? Quick, gave me a beat. Now Pomona's on the set now. Get your money while you bullshit. Baby, why you bullshit. Mama tried, but it ain't no love like homie love, baby. I'm G-up and I'm crazy. And there's a mellow ghetto breeze on my ass, cause I'm banging. Don't wanna die, so I'm packing. And when I see my baby crying, I can't explain how it hits me. I'm trying to take responsibility. But see, in order for me to win, I gotta lose sometimes, baby. I know I'm wrong, but I'ma make it. Now I never hit a woman, nah, but I slap the shit out of the bitch. Why you bullshit? If you think with a little head, you get your little head, little dream. But I ain't going against the grain, not me, not even a little bit. Bet she didn't tell you she used to be my hoe, huh? Yeah, nigga, she's so hot, pussy for me and Pomona. You better take some of this nighttime stuffy, icky head fevers. You can realize I'm trying to get rid of her quick. Why you bullshit, medicine, nigga? She can free as lovely and pretty as I can be. Perm silkier than Charlotte's Web, waves deep as Redondo Beach. Tell her yes, sir. Get your money, why you bullshit? Baby, why you bullshit? Nigga. Well, what, your lady won't suck your dick? Cause for the very low, low price of $100, you can use my bitch. And if you act now, man, I'm throwing a hold out above your knives. She used to work down there at the sperm bank, so she got fired for drinking on the job. But you ain't knowing. Giving baby your money be killing me. Letting that bitch disrespect you in front of your friends be killing me. Always giving that bitch some dick, killing me. Going through one ear, coming out the other, talking about you feeling me. Now, pop to tell me where my love at. Cause I'ma tell you where you're wrong at. I'm being, but I won't break. Not me, no matter. I'm broken in the Ten Commandments. Plus, I just walked the hole with some Stacey Adams. Shit, not that. You broke, been broke, don't be broke. Wanna see me broke, but please don't really though. Cause I tell a lie, she tell a lie. Then we'll sit there with a straight face and compliment each other on one another's lies. And I can tell you 30 times how to pimp you a hoe. And I can tell you 30 more and you still won't know. You wanna overuse the pussy. Nigga, I'm trying to hit the news with the pussy. In a survey, it's estimated that 9 out of 10 men don't check their spouse. But sugar free, I tell your pretty ass to get the fuck out. And get my money while you bullshit. Baby, why you bullshit? I get that while you bullshit. Baby, why you bullshit?
Bitch, come get your damn kids. You see them tearing up my shit. She's staring dead at their ass and won't tell them to quit. Now, I'll whoop their ass. Fuck waiting till baby turn her back. Little old man come sock me his chest again and try to run. He getting cracked. I want you, but I really don't need you, bitch. Cause all you do is.
You're listening to The Marty Smith Show. As we continue to talk about labor, race, politics, and entertainment, and there's a common sense thread in all of what Dr. Boyce is talking about. I see it so clearly.
A friend or a stranger, which would you choose? Would you choose a relative or would you choose a stranger? Who would you hire? Yeah, give me an answer. Would you hire a stranger off the street that you don't know? Or would you hire the person next door or your friend or your relative? Assuming their credentials are the same, their qualifications are the same, who are you going to hire first? Who are you going to hire first? I'll wait. You're going to hire a relative first. You're going to hire people who look like you, people who you have something in common with. Hollywood was invented and created by the Jewish community so they can take care of their own. Hollywood was created by the Jewish community so they could do what black people are going to be able to do probably in the next century. It's going to take time. We've got a lot of undoing to do. We've got a lot of unbrainwashing to do. But in about 50 years, about the year 2070, I told you about Project 2070, where we want to see by 2070, we believe black people can be the most financially literate, the most economically sophisticated group of people in the world because of what we've gone through, because of the necessity of our mission. So by about 2070, 2080, you're going to see the tables turn where black people are going to start building things on par with what the Jewish community is doing right now. One of the books I highly recommend, you guys know it, it is How the Jews Invented Hollywood. It's a great book written by a man, he's not Jewish, but he's some white guy, and he just did an objective analysis and broke down the details of how Hollywood was built. So why would you ever think, I mean, only misguided Negroes would believe that the people in Hollywood are going to take care of black people as well as they take care of their own. Only black people who've been lied to who are about the myth of integration are going to believe that these people are going to take care of you like they take care of their own. Like I'm saying, you got to be crazy to think that they're going to take care of your black ass before they take care of their children. What in the world makes you think that they're going to love you the way they love their sibling? They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that the same way you're not going to do that. So what you think of as racism You know, they like Tyler. I know that Tyler mentioned Oscar So White. He said, everybody was talking about Oscar So White. He said, while you're talking about Oscar So White, I'm over here building a table. You fighting for a seat at the table? I'm going to build a table, and I'm going to be handing out seats. I love that analysis because you can sit here and pick it all day long and get mad because they won't let you in, but it makes you look crazy. It makes you look stupid. It makes you look pathetic. It makes us look weak. It makes us look like we don't have anything of our own, that we can't build on our own. We only know how to serve. It's like that. Anybody remember that football player that played for the Kansas City Chiefs? This poor guy, I felt so bad for him. He was in his 20s, so maybe he didn't know any better. But they cut him from the team, and this big, strong black man stood out in front of Arrowhead Stadium.
So he stood out in front of the stadium with a sign that said he'll – defense for little or nothing. Oh, well. Let's take a break and think through it. I'll be right back.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Hey.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Yeah.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Hey.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
VIP coming live from the VIP. Heard the nightlife, lost life, what I mean. Most feds in the state wanna be by me. The whole city got pissed, heard he got three. That other nigga got a hip for shouting, he not out. Who set the city on fire soon as he got free? The king back now, hoes don't even know how to act now. Hit the club, strippers getting naked before I sat down. See a ball of money stacked out the shack now. See her push a button and let the roof on the lack down. I'm on the road doing shows to my Mac down. Mississippi to Philly, Albuquerque to chat time. I got the crowd yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
I'm a hot girl yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
All the dope boys yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Front to back day yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
With other rap niggas hooded in this, I got rich and I'm still on some hooligan shit. You be rapping by a blow, I don't move in the shit. Talk about shooting out, now we're doing the shit. If I hit you in the face, you gon' be suing the shit. And if I catch another case, I know it's true to be missed. So I'ma keep a cool head, stay out of the news headlines, and show these other rappers it's bedtime. It's clear to see that I'm ahead of my time. I cop a grown down hard talk career with a shine. I got the time, ain't shit, cause I get better with time. Who got a flow and a live show better than mine? I got a packed house yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
I'm a hot girl yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
All the dope boys yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Front to back day yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Mic check, 1 2 1 2. You wanna beef with the king? What is you gon' do? When you show up on the scene, what is two guns drew on you and your friend and play a little 2 on 2? If you do half of what I do, then you'll be hitting the deck. I got a tool and a vest, I can get some respect. I'ma make it hard for a sucker nigga to flex. Show 'em it's like a squad for a nigga to test. Man, my nuts too large and we way too fresh. Work well with 9s, 8Ks, and techs. They put the checker lame like a game of chess. You wanna beef, nigga, bring your best. Cause we'll be standing in your front yard yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
I'm a hot girl yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
All the dope boys yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Front to back day yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Oh, front yard yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
I'm a hot girl yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
All the dope boys yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Front to back day yelling,
bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Oh.
Bring 'em out.
crazy. That shit was crazy.
Yes. It is I, says he. So Dr. Boyce said that there will be an economic recovery or beginning or nuance in the African-American community that will parallel that of the early beginnings of Hollywood in the Jewish community at 2070 plus the year, as he advocates for moving away from mainstream capitalism. Now, unless a major paradigm shift occurs in the psychology of people in general, not just black folks, all people, you can't enter a market without understanding the barriers to market and capital. And so why would anyone advocate for replicating something of the nature of, I guess, a black Hollywood or black entertainment society based on the precepts of that which we already struggle with? So why do I want to build it based on a model that doesn't actually work, based on his analysis of where you have to go to get the work? Sometimes I've noticed in black speak, black consciousness, that the practicum isn't there. Mind you, Dr. Boyce Watkins is a mathematician. That is great for crunching numbers and getting to some absolutes. However, like a probability and calculus where you have to do these, you know, variances, and yeah, the number is blah, 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 but it's a possibility that it could be over or under based on this. So you have moving parts, and the moving part is the human, the brain, and what do people do? Often in the struggle to build and erect something, those builders forego the common sense analysis of what do these people do that I'm trying to help? What are their patterns? What is the synergy? Where do things gravitate? What is the gravitas? So irrespective of if it could happen financially, which I don't even think possible unless all things go through a paradigm shift and anyone sitting on $500,000 plus or nearly $1 billion, of course, all of the wealth class has decided that we're going to put all our energy into this black entertainment thing by 27. And it's offshoots. So you just don't get entertainment. You get electricians, you get carpenters, you get computer systems, you get new development of tools to use, this, that, and the other, robotics, you get it all entertained. Security, surveillance, policing, you get every aspect because it's a caricature of real life. Point being, I just don't see the Renaissance based on the numbers without calculating how people are behaving now. He's trying to push some basic concepts that have been pushed, not because he pushes them. These are old as mud. In many ways, it's biblical. Do for self. Start your own shit. And stop worrying about other people. And don't covet thy neighbor shit. This is basic as business is business is basic. And all of the other intangibles. Do unto others as you'll have them do unto you. So that's good trade, good faith. You don't have to go far beyond common sense principles to see how people bartered back in the day and how they'll continue to barter back in the future. His particular concepts about setting up a non-capitalist capitalism as we see it would have to have massive changes of heart for those of us who know nothing but the market economy. And remember, if you start removing things from where you currently have, you'll have hoarding. Somebody's going to hoard up all these resources. You're going to have overcharging for things. You're going to have incompetence. Then you have to set up bureaucracy to police these stuff. And then the consequences of the policing, now you're in the courts, and whatever, fines, sanctions, jail, whatever. So, interesting. I'm not knocking the concept and the possibility. I don't see why it's akin to the film industry only. Maybe why not in athletic, where I do see the nexus, because everybody want to be famous. So once I get a pile of money, let's jump into the film industry and let's start producing and putting our own image and stuffs out, you know, even shoes. They put a mini movie together just to promote some shoes. So it's all Hollywood based. That's the nature of what we psychologically assume is our freedom. People get to sell us shit. However, the Renaissance that this guy's talking about is quite unlikely, because we're still dealing with basic start-your-own theories that have not progressed since the Buy Black days of the 80s and the African markets that started springing up and marketplaces and trade. Before we got the full-blown flea market stuff you got now, you just had trade and barter. But then you have legislation and city people who come in, and what do? They got to tax. They got to run them off this corner. They got to do this. They got to do that. Whatever it takes to uproot in an effort to stabilize and then eventually control, the forces will do. So you can't set up economies. And I can say this safely because I just tried to set up some cryptocurrency transactions through a highly recommended protocol. It took me many, many, many hours to first understand the concepts. They don't break it down. What is cryptocurrency and what is you buying and blah, 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 blah. So simple as this. One Bitcoin is like $11,000. You can buy one Bitcoin. How do you do that? I just go to the Bitcoin people and say, I want to buy Bitcoin. Nope. You got to set up a wallet. Okay, what's a wallet? Where? That's just like your wallet in your pocket. You set up a digital wallet. Okay. However, you just can't pull your money out and go buy Bitcoin. You got to go to somebody who can do a transaction, and they may not do nothing but $11,000 each Bitcoin. However, there are, because this thing has grown, people who are shading off one coin. So I could have invested $120 in 0.00945672 something percent of one Bitcoin. So that's less than a penny on for $100, $120. However, you know, I was going to do it just to do it. And it's something to talk about for future shows. I can spend $120 on beer every 2 weeks. Trust me. But the problem was that the transactions never got to the point where they were going through. I felt as if it were safe, but the protocols through the phone, through the app, and the glitches and the glitchery, and this is a worldwide platform, never worked. It just, you know, get ready to click credit card. Sorry, that screen is not available. Click it the next day. Okay, it's available. Boom. I set it up. Boom, boom, boom. You couldn't toggle back, you know, if you made a mistake. So they have euros as opposed to you have to click to put it in USD, United States dollars. Oh, my goodness. You just can't go backwards and unclick it. You got to start all over again. So, of course, you go through website not available because you're on an international platform. And this is how it is. And the folks are looking at you from, I think they're in Israel looking at us. This particular platform is owned or was registered to Israel. So at the end of the day, the point is it was so difficult to just enter into something, just playing around with $120, that it was a barrier to market. And anytime you set up anything new or going forward with the same thing, you're going to always have these, some of, most of which are cost and knowledge. You don't know what you're getting into, thus you fail, and you don't have enough money. You're undercapitalized to do what it is you're trying to do. You may get an entry break. You may start that bakery, and it was all good. But 6 years down the road, the chicken factory, or 4 years, or a year and 3 months, 2 years and a month down the road, the chicken factory is done because it could not keep up with the slack of sales. And ultimately, you can look at it many ways. He didn't have enough knowledge to know that he needed more capital, or had nothing to do with knowledge. He knows everything he needs to know. He could have got outwitted or sabotaged and or just undercapitalized. Just, you know, was on a wing, a dove, and a prayer. Don't let the Lord work it out. Well, that don't work out all the time. So with regard to the cyber thing, what I found is, like, I tried 4 or 5 times. And then I started communicating with these folks, like, your system's not working. Like, okay, try this. Boom, boom, boom. So I got to the point where I could submit it, but each step of the way, it just kept asking me for things in which, if you had to go back and find them, it was, you have to start all over again. And so, plus you're putting your credit card out there, and there is a way to buy it online with a credit card, which is rare. That's how I was knowledgeable of this site, and it was well recommended. You cannot often do that in most cases. However, and I was buying what again? 9/10 of a penny. The value over 11,400 or 11,500 in the value of one Bitcoin. Now, some of y'all may think, well, why are you wasting your time and your money? Because the value of one Bitcoin could go donkey in a blink of an eye. And now that one Bitcoin is 100, 300 times its value. So that $120 investment now is looking more and more like, oh, okay, you should have bought more. Also, the way you understand this stuff is you got blockchain management. So people are looking at your transactions and moving your money around based on what you're buying and shifting the market. This is worse than, certainly worse than stocks in terms of the volatility, because it's who you're giving your money to. That's regulated. Give your money to the web in dark places. And the way some of this shit is working, I know folks that did well early on, but I know folks that did not do well because they actually tried to go too deep into it and weren't properly capital, and then they started losing money. So the value of your $120 at, again, 0.00094567% of $11,000. That's less than a penny. Okay? It's infinitesimal. And it can go worse. But looking at its valuation over time, it's platinum. Over time, it's platinum. So once you buy the 120 in 9/10 of a penny, you for life. So I had to set up my own digital wallet. Then they ask you for the address of the Bitcoin. It's like if every dollar had a Bitcoin. You know what I'm saying? That's wild. That's wild. Every dollar had a Bitcoin and a different meaning of value and the determination. So each dollar fluctuates. Each dollar fluctuates. And your mind just goes, you know, to understand what cryptocurrency is, it's a bet on a bet on a three-card Molly game. It works over time, or unless you just buy the bet on the bet and the game. But you could lose your shirt. Because the bank where your money sits could be part of the game. Wow. I don't know if I could say that any better. Even in terms of a lecture at UC Berkeley, could I say that any better? Just think about what I said. And try and explain what some of the issues are with what the issues are, you know. It ain't just easy to just start up some business. And this guy is talking about some monumental changes, which I hope can happen. But when you start breaking down the chatter. So let me finish with the Bitcoin. The Bitcoin thing, ultimately, me going back and forth, and you had to put in a code, you had to verify he was on the right phone. Bam. Okay. But, you know, every time they called, it knocked me off page. That was frustrating. So I get on the email. I'm doing all this on my phone. I get on my laptop and just set up an email, and I'm like, boom, boom, boom. This is the problem. So I'm talking back and forth to them. They're like, we don't see you on this platform. No, because I'm on my email. I'm on my laptop, dude. I'm not on my computer, because if I try to text you on my computer and still try to pay for this fucking thing, meanwhile, you know, I done tried four times and I got a credit card hanging out there somewhere in cyberspace. And so I'm trying to either shut it down now or get it resolved. You don't want 120 to become 100, 1,020, and that I'm liable for with something ignorant. But each step of the way was more and more for confirmation that this is real, this is how this goes down. But the problem was the technology and the phone and the backwards and forth. Ultimately, my last attempt, payment, credit card, all the information, birthday again for the 700th time, all everything goes in. But here's the thing. Then it asked me for photo verification of myself. We done verified my emails. We done verified my birth. I mean, we done over codes. I had to do an email code. That's why I had to get on laptop in the first place. Because they started emailing me, you need to confirm your email. Now you need to confirm your phone. And I had to confirm me after I'd already confirmed the credit card. All right. Now I got to take a picture of my ID and upload it. There was no upload. As soon as I got on the picture and went back, of course, bumped me off the whole thing. So I politely emailed the dude for the last time after we've been talking 15 minutes. Said, you know what? I'm done. I'm deleting the app. He just said, understandable, after all you've been through. So I deleted the app. And I do not own 9 tenths of a penny in cryptocurrency. I still have the digital wallet. I can go back and get it. Or I just pull the app back. Your digital wallet is yours, so I'm done with that. At least that version of that. So, again, as we apply this to some of what Dr. Watkins is talking about, it ain't easy to just start from scratch and sustain it without knowledge and acknowledgement of the traps, hoops, hurdles necessary to even do what it is you're trying to do. So that's my point. Let's take a break. This show's almost 40 minutes. We're back live at the Marty Smith Show. Deep thoughts about business. And as I'm thinking about this whole Bitcoin thing, it's way more important that I go through the experience. And now I know how to set the damn thing up and what the values mean. There are so many different ones. I mean, it's not the originator with the Bitcoin. Now they got all kind of stuff in an index connected to the original coin. So we'll see in the future. My issue may be as simple as I need to upgrade my phone so I can do those type of transactions with more leisure. Or, God trying to tell me something. Don't get involved with that fool. We'll figure it out.
You got to think under the music. You got to think under the dance. You got to get under what caused these things to exist to know the true history. And why do you want the true history? Because there are real secrets in the history that empower your life. And this is why you need to know this. Hip-hop is holding ancient secrets. I'm going to share this with you right now. Here's the ancient secrets, most ancient secrets. Those that study philosophy, or anyone on a spiritual path, really, in that sense, may recognize some of what I'm getting ready to talk about. But I have to go here with you because here's the number two of it. First, the charitable act, the self-expression, the courage to be you causes hip-hop. If that's the act that brings it into physical manifestation. I'm going to be me no matter what. Now here's the next step. After you've decided to really be the real you, which has a consequence, to be the real me, I may have to leave home. To be the real me, I may have to divorce her. To be the real me, I may have to leave him, them, it. To be the real me is going to be a consequence. But if you can get the courage up to be you, here's the next step. Where are you? You say, I'm going to be me. Well, where are you? Where is me? Who is me? What does me look like? I'm going to be me. What is me? Self-creation is the second part to hip-hop. We created ourselves. The mainstream had nothing to do with it. They didn't want to have nothing to do with it. That's why it's such a farce now. I wake up every day laughing at the TV that rap artists and a lot, I can't even say just rappers, hip-hop culture is all over the mainstream.
Going down the drain.
Oh, look, and it is. Because at the end of the day, we were created as an answer to the mainstream. The mainstream said you dance like this. You hold your partner by the waist and by the hand, and you do this kind of thing, you know, and you dance back and forth. We said, no, we spinning, popping, we doing something different, and we won't be it. No, you're supposed to play, you're supposed to buy a record, put it on the turntable, you put the needle on the record, you step away from the turntable, let the record play. We're like, no, you got to play with the record while it's playing, and this is how you get the sound. They're like, no, you're supposed to sing into a microphone, you're supposed to have this kind of, you know, and everything that the mainstream said was right and true, we said, it's not. Why? It just don't feel right. Now here's the magical lesson of the day. To get in touch with your feelings, with your intuition, with your me, with your I. To really get in touch with that. On top of that, you heard yourself speaking. Yet this ear is not what heard. The only way this ear can hear is by vibration. This other voice that you have spoke and heard itself speaking. Yet the ear nor the mouth was used. This is the beginning of your spiritual awareness that there is another you that operates within this physical body. As a matter of fact, it's not even within it, it's everywhere. There's another you that is not confined to this body. It actually can manipulate it and tell it what to do and go and be. There's another you, a real me, a real I, that can speak, can hear, and can see without anything physical. You can close your eyes. If you close your eyes, you can see this term better. These are just symbols. These scratchings are just symbols that point to a reality. When you close your eyes, you can see the reality that this symbol is pointing you to. You can actually see better with your eyes closed. What is the sight that sees your future? It's not these eyes. but yet you see your future. You see your past. You can actually see your past. But it's not these eyes that are actually seeing it. So what is sight? It's not just eye, it's not talk, it's not just mouth, hearing is not just ear. There is an inner thing going on that once you become in tune with the voice that doesn't speak, the hearing that doesn't hear, doesn't need to hear, the sight that doesn't need to see, when you get in touch with that, you're at the center of where hip-hop lives. Hip-hop doesn't come from the physical body. Hip-hop is not a physical thing. The term hip-hop never comes into physical reality, ever. Hip-hop influences us to bring it into physical reality. This is why we say we are not just doing hip-hop, we are hip-hop. Because the only time hip-hop comes into physical manifestation is when you allow it to. Hip-hop, the term, remains a collective idea. This is an idea that we are all sharing called hip-hop. But that idea never came. There is nothing that I could pick up and say, this is hip-hop. This is a can of hip-hop. Or this animal is called hip-hop. Or this, you know, there is no physical thing that you can say, this is hip-hop. Hip-hop is an idea. And that idea, the second level of that idea, is self-creation. You have to know where the I is in order to create it. You have to know who me is in order to create it.